Hey, you guys, time for another Tomes of Terror book review. Now, the one we're talking about today is called The Devil of Nanking by Mo Hayder. Now, this book was originally published back in 2004, and I believe its original title was Tokyo. Now, Mo Hayder, I guess, is a British author, so I'm assuming it was first published in the UK under that title. It seems like they changed the title to The Devil of Nanking for America, for the American market, and I think they have that listed as 2010, so I guess it was like several years afterward. Now, I guess Mo Hayder, this is the first book of hers that I've read, but like I said, she's a British author, and she kind of made a big splash with her first novel, which came out in 2000, I think, which is called Birdman, and subsequently has made quite a career for herself doing mainly thrillers. She does something called the Walking Man series. Some of her stuff, I think her novel The Treatment was even made into a movie in Belgium. So, quite successful in that genre. Now, this is also sort of a, I guess you would call it a crime thriller, but it has kind of like a different spin on it. It's not like a real traditional. You know what this reminds me a lot of? It reminds me a lot, if you guys saw, and we reviewed it on the show a while back, but the Ridley Scott movie Black Rain, which I think came out in 1989, that had Michael Douglas in it. This reminds me very much of that in the sense that it's sort of like a crime drama. There's Yakuza stuff in it, and it's kind of like a cultural clash type of thing. And it also has a lot of historical detail in it that's actually really well researched and like integrated into the story. So you're essentially following two stories in this novel. The first story, set in the present day, is about a girl, or a young woman rather, named Gray. Now, that's not her real name, but you never find out what her actual name is. That's the only name she's ever known by. And she was named that. I guess she was in a mental hospital for a long time, and her some like a friend of hers at the mental hospital named her that because she kind of looked and acted like an alien, like a gray. So she just kind of adopted that for herself. Gray is a fascinating protagonist. She was apparently, and that's one thing, if there's one thing I could knock this book for, is like I was really intrigued by her backstory because they, I mean, Mo Hayder gives you like some hints of what was going on back then, and but it's kind of like unspooled really slowly. But a lot of her background is kind of a mystery. Not so much what happened, but why it happened, like why she's the way she is. But that said, I mean, she's still like a really interesting character, but I wish that I had known like a little bit more about her. So she's this young woman, and I guess she grew up in a really weird household. Like her parents were really overly protective of her, and they wouldn't let her read certain books. I was like, they wouldn't let her watch TV or anything like that. So she's very, very sheltered. And she has like this weird thing where she doesn't really know anything about anything. Like she doesn't know anything about how the world works or anything like that, which is a source of great frustration for her. However, when she was a kid, one book that was in her parents' house that I guess they, because she makes a big deal about them being really careful about what books they allowed in the house, but there was this one little book that apparently slipped through their net, through the radar, under the radar, and it was a this little orange book, and it mentioned the Massacre of Nanking, which, if you didn't know, it's like a real historical thing. It actually was kind of underground information for a long time, but I think most people know about it now. But it was essentially the Japanese coming into China, into Nanking, which was then the capital of that portion there, and massacring, some people think 350,000 people. We're talking corpses damming up rivers, so many bodies that people mistook it for a mountain from far away, like just these terrible, terrible atrocities. So that is kind of like the background of this. So she is reading this book, and she has become, for whatever reason, which, like I said, they don't go, you kind of find out a little bit later on why she's so fascinated by the Nanking Massacre. She's like obsessing about it. And she finds in this little book about the massacre this little kind of offhand comment that apparently there was a film taken, back when it was going on during in 1937, and it showed a particular atrocity that she has a particular interest in or a particular fascination with, let's say that. So as she gets older, she kind of grabs everything she can grab. Like, she becomes obsessed with the Nanking Massacre, and particularly with finding this mysterious film, which nobody seems to know, like, where it went or where it happened. It was almost kind of like a rumor that was mentioned somewhere, and like nobody has been able to find it since then. So she becomes obsessed with finding it. Now, at some point before the events of the book, she does something that ends up with her being in a mental hospital. You don't find out what it is until pretty much the end, but she ends up in there for a while. And while she's in there, like I said, she becomes more and more obsessed with the Nanking Massacre. She just draws pictures of it. She has like all these notes and everything. So she tries to go to university, like to study war atrocities and things like that, but then she kind of drops out, and then she decides that she is going to take what little money she has after she gets out of the hospital, and she is going to track down the person that supposedly made and or owns this mysterious film, if only so that she can tell people that she didn't just make it up. Because I guess one of the things is that whatever was portrayed on this film, I think that people in general that know about this massacre didn't think that things like that happened. And she is convinced that this film exists of this happening. And so she wants to kind of find it so she can convince herself, as well as others, that she's not crazy, that she didn't imagine this mention of it that was in the book so long ago. So she ends up going to Japan. She speaks some Japanese. But like I said, she has pretty much zero money. She didn't really make much of a plan. Like I said, she's very naive in a lot of ways and doesn't really know much about regular life, or doing like practical things. So she didn't really, she went to Japan with like most of her last money that she had, and she didn't really have any plan other than, hey, I'm gonna find this guy that supposedly has this film, and then that's kind of as far as it went. So she goes to this university, and she meets this guy who supposedly has this film, and his name is Shi Chongming. And he was Chinese. He was well, he is he's still Chinese as far as we know. And he was actually a witness to the Nanking Massacre. He lived there back in 1937, and he is supposedly the one that has the film, and or made the film. And he is now a visiting professor of sociology, I think it is, at a university in Tokyo. So she goes to see him. It doesn't go as well as she planned. He basically denies that he has the movie. He just doesn't want to talk about it. And so then she's kind of left at sixes and sevens, and she's kind of out in the streets of Tokyo, homeless, like with no money or anything like that. Now, fortuitously, she's kind of getting ready to sleep on a bench or whatever, and this weird, I think he's an American dude. I can't remember if he's American or British or something like that. But he kind of comes across her in this little shrine or wherever she's staying at, and he says, well, she's like, I don't have any money and stuff, and he's like, well, I can give you a place to stay. I live in this really big house with these couple of other roommates that work at a hostess club here in Tokyo. And he's like, and I work there too, like as a bartender or whatever it is that he does. And he's like, so I could get you a job there. You could make some money. You could rent out this room. We have this big house. It's mostly, it's kind of like a, it was an abandoned house. Essentially, they're kind of squatting in it. Like, he's like, well, the landlord comes by sometimes, but sometimes he just forgets to. And the whole like bottom floor of it was all flooded out, and it's all kind of falling apart and shit. But he's like, better than sleeping on the street. Now, obviously, this dude, he seems nice at first, but you know that anybody that goes up to this, kind of young woman in the street and is kind of like, hey, I got a place to stay and I'll get you a job and stuff, he's gonna kind of turn out to be a creep, which he sort of does later on, and in ways that you probably didn't imagine. But she doesn't really have much of a choice, so she goes along with it. And over the course of the story, she ends up getting a job at this Tokyo nightclub, like a hostess club. And even though she thought, because she's very, very socially awkward and she's very, very naive and ignorant of people's ways and stuff. So she didn't really think she'd be all that good at being a hostess. But as it turns out, she's kind of weird, but she's better at it than she thought she would be. You know what I mean? She gets a lot of schooling from these two Russian girls who also work at the hostess club. So they kind of help her out, like put makeup on her and shit like that, because she doesn't know anything about that. So as the story goes on, at the club, it turns out that there's this old guy that comes in there, this old gangster, and he has this really scary woman who's his nurse or whatever. I think his name is Fuyuki, and then you find out later that he's in the Yakuza. Now, while all of this is going on, this is another book that kind of flips back and forth between present day and past. Because while Gray's story is happening in the present, you're also getting interstitials where Shi Chongming, the man who is at the university but who survived the Nanking Massacre back in the day, back in 1937, where you're kind of getting his diary from that time of like what was happening. And that is, like I said, as far as I know, it's fictionalized, but Mo Hayter did a really lot of research into what exactly would have happened during that. And that part is like really horrific because it's like him, his wife is very, very pregnant. And, you know, you kind of get the thing where it's like everyone just moving out of the town, like the Japanese coming in and all the atrocities that came in their wake, which are really, really horrible and really like horribly described. So lots of like trigger warnings for pretty much everything. I mean, you know, animal cruelty, baby killing, cannibalism, pretty much anything you can think of, you know, rape. So just know that going in. It's not, the descriptions of it are horrific, but I mean, I've read worse, but the fact that this is researched and you know that this stuff probably really did happen makes it a lot harder to read about. So just kind of know that going into it. So what's going on is that you get like Shi Chongming's diary and he's kind of leading up to, you know, what his life was like at first. And then like when the Japanese came and invaded Nanking and like what happened, like everyone, you know, kind of tried to run, like some people got killed, they were all starving. And then what happened when they tried to escape, and then kind of goes, you know, leads up to, you know, the thing that happened when he made the famous film, at which point the two stories kind of converge. Because what ends up happening is that Gray knows that he has this film and she wants to see it really, really badly. Like I said, she's completely, completely obsessed with this film. He does not want to show it to her for reasons which become clear later on. At first, he denies that it even exists or that he had it. But, you know, as time goes on, he does have it and he was the one that made it. So they kind of, after a while, they do a lot of back and forth. She keeps bugging him. He keeps trying to put her off. But, you know, finally, she's just like, look, I'm not going to leave you alone until you, you know, show me the movie. So finally, he says, OK, well, I'll make you a deal. He's like, I will show you the movie if you, you know, because he knows at this point that she works at the hostess club and that Fuyuki, the Yakuza boss guy, goes there all the time and that he, you know, likes her particularly, and that she's been to his house for like parties and stuff. He's like, okay, well, Fuyuki has this thing. He's like, I don't really believe it does this, but he believes it's something that makes him live forever. I don't think it's like makes him live, like, I don't think it makes him immortal. Well, he believes it makes him immortal. And he won't tell her what it is. Like, he's just kind of like, he's like, well, I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want you. He's like, well, I don't really know. So I want you to find out, like, you know, so if you're at his house, you have to like snoop around, even though obviously these are like Yakuza people and will just like, you know, kill your face like immediately. So it's super, super dangerous. But she wants to see this movie so bad that she agrees to do it without really knowing exactly what she's getting into. So that's kind of the bulk of the story. So the two, the, you know, the past, the shit with the diary and her present are intertwined in ways that are not immediately apparent. So it's almost kind of like, you know, it's kind of leading up to this big climax where you find out how their fates are sort of connected. Now, as I said, this is it has like horrific elements to it. But like I said, it's mostly a crime thriller. And I think one of the best things about it is that I really liked the culture clash element because she is British and she's, even though she knows Japanese, she knows a lot about Japanese history, but she's never lived there before and she's kind of clueless about life in general, not just in a culture completely alien to her own. Just even the stuff about her just like navigating through everyday life and just doing regular shit is just kind of like really endearing, I guess. I don't know if I'd call her a likable character, but she is for sure a relatable character. The other characters, this is kind of like one of those books where all the characters are sort of colorful or not quirky because that seems like rom-commy, but they're like weird in different ways. Like I said, Jason, the one guy that she meets, who initially offers her the place to stay and the job, he turns out to be a total freakazoid who is into her for sort of nefarious reasons. Then you have Fuyuki and his nurse, who is essentially this big, scary woman who's just, she's almost like, the way that Mohater describes her, she's almost like animalistic. She's like this really big woman with these really big hands, and she has like, she always wears a wig and you can't really see her face. And there's hints that she's done like her trademark method of murder, because of course she's like a Yakuza enforcer and she's like one of the most feared ones in Tokyo. And the way that she kills people is really really disgusting. So she's like a really scary character. There's also like really endearing characters, like the two Russian girls that also live in the house with Jason and Gray, and they're super cute. And the woman that runs the hostess club, what is she called, Madame Strawberry or whatever her name is, and she thinks that she's, or she wants to be Marilyn Monroe. So she has had plastic surgery to look more like Marilyn Monroe. She has copies of all of Marilyn Monroe's like iconic outfits and, you know, the cigarette on the thing and all this other kind of stuff. And she's like a really good character too. So there's all these kind of like strange characters in this really strange place, in this really strange situation, with this backdrop of Yakuza crimes and war atrocities and stuff like that. If that sounds like a strange combination, it sort of is, but I don't know. Something about it like really worked for me. Also, I will say too that the writing in this is just so, I loved the descriptions of Tokyo. I mean, the descriptions, particularly of the house where they're living, which, like I said, is sort of like semi-abandoned, and this just like wild garden in the background. And it's just like the descriptions of it are really beautiful and like really evocative. And as I said, I really dug Gray as a main character, even though like I said, I don't think I'd call her a likable character. It's like she doesn't seem like someone you'd want to hang out with particularly, but she was like a really fascinating character. And I kind of wish, you do get into her head a little bit because, you know, the parts that are in the present day are in the first person. They're from her point of view. But I do kind of wish that there had been more about her past. Like, why were her parents like that? Like, what, you know, because there's really no reason. She just kind of says, oh, they're just like super overprotective. But the fact that she doesn't even know, like, she doesn't know how to do just like completely mundane, regular shit. Like, she doesn't know how to drive. She doesn't know how to put gas in a car. She doesn't know how to pay bills. She doesn't know how to do anything like that. And it's just really interesting. I would have liked more about why her parents were like that and why, you know, I don't know. It was just like it's just a really weird thing. But she's like a really weird character, but I really liked that. Also, she didn't go too much into why in particular she was so obsessed with the Nanking Massacre, like why she initially got obsessed with it. You do find out later why she was so obsessed with the film, because of what the film shows. And she wanted to see that in particular because, like I said, there was a connection there. Like, I won't spoil it. You know, that's kind of explained, but there was a lot of stuff that was left a little bit unexplained. It's like a lot of it's sort of implied, but you know, you can kind of read into it. But anyway, yeah. So if you like crime thrillers, like I said, this reminded me a lot. If you like Black Rain, that Ridley Scott movie from 1989, this is, it's not exactly the same because that was kind of more like a hard-boiled police procedural type thing. And this is more like a weird, I don't know, this is more like a, you know, kind of war atrocities meets strange girl in a hostess club kind of, and then with Yakuza stuff. It's a really strange combo, but it really does work actually. And it's interesting because I was reading some of the Goodreads reviews, and a lot of people really dug her first couple novels, which I think were also crime thrillers. But some people, like a lot of people, really like this one, but then some people couldn't really hang with it, and I'm not really sure why, because I just thought this was really, really cool. And it's something that I don't think I've ever read another crime thriller that was written in this particular way, or that was in this particular setting. And I think that the novelty of it was like really cool, because it's not really structured exactly like a standard thriller, and it has like a bunch of different elements to it that you don't usually see in more standard kind of examples of the genre. So I really, really like that. So if you're looking for a crime thriller that has kind of something different and has kind of like a historical touch to it, like I said, trigger warnings for pretty much everything. A lot of the shit that's described in here is pretty horrific, and probably more horrific because a lot of that shit did happen in real life, and so that's pretty disturbing. But yeah, so if you're looking for something like that, I would definitely recommend this book. It's really, really good. I had a really good time reading it. As weird as that sounds, is because of a lot of the shit that happens in it is really horrifying. But yeah, as I said, this is called, in the US at least, it's called The Devil of Nanking. If you're in other countries, I believe it's just called Tokyo, and it came out in 2004. But yeah, that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.